Hello and welcome to episode 47 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown, and I have got an incredibly special guest, Greg Monson.
Hey.
Greg Monson is an American living in Paris, and no, you should not go out and read your Hemingway right now. You should instead listen to this amazing, amazing world report that he's going to give. But first off, I want to just do some quick housekeeping items. The logistics are we want everyone to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. We also want everyone to support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. Greg, give us your introduction. Tell us about how long you've been playing IA.
Sure. And thanks again for having me on the podcast. It's really great to be here.
It is our treat to have you.
Thanks. So I've played Imperial Assault for a while, actually, but I started off in the campaign back when I lived in the Bay Area, and I played through the original campaign right when it came out with some friends, and then also did Hoth and one of the small ones. But I only got into Skirmish, actually, when I moved to Paris, so it was about a year and a half ago. And I just decided to, you know, go into one of the game stores and be like, well, I have this game that I really liked. So is there a community here? And there was, and they were super nice and just like welcomed me into the community. And it's been really wonderful.
That's awesome. So how long ago was that?
It's been a year and a half. I think my first game of Skirmish was December 2016.
Okay. Wow, that's awesome. That is very, very awesome. Would you like telling us a little bit about some of your previous organized play results or experiences?
Sure. So it's been mostly in France. I also went to Europeans last year. So Europeans last year, I ended up getting second, lost in the finals to Arvidas. That was a really, really fun tournament.
Arvidas was at Worlds, actually, and he is an incredibly good player. Where is he from?
Lithuania.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, he's a really great player. We didn't get to play at Worlds this year, just a fun game on the side afterwards. I also won French Nationals with an Ugnaughts list.
Oh, shame. Yeah. Just kidding. It's all right. Ugnaughts are gone. The wound has healed.
That was a really, really interesting event, actually, because it was right after Jabba's Realm had come out, but it hadn't been released in France yet. So Jabba's Realm was not legal, but we'd gotten the blister wave, and that had come out with sufficient time. So we could play with, like, IG-88 and the Jawa all those. So, yeah, it was, like, a completely weird meta, and I ended up bringing Ugnaughts and IG-88 because Ugnaughts are really gross in that kind of meta.
Yes, they are. That's awesome. And how long ago was that? That would have been, what, a little over a year and a half? So that would have been pretty soon after you started playing, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was 8 or 9 months ago. I don't remember exactly how many. Okay. I think I'd been playing like just a little under a year, maybe.
Okay. And have you had any regionals experience?
Yeah, I played in 3 different regionals in the Paris area. I won one of them with Han Rangers, list very similar to the one that I played at Worlds. And then got second in another, and then I don't remember. I didn't make the cut in the other one.
Oh, that was the bitter one. What was the most recent? Was the most recent win the Han Rangers?
No, the most recent one was the one where I didn't make the cut because I brought an Ugnaught list there just to test it against like the Vader stuff.
Oh, sure.
And it ended up not doing that well, which I was actually very happy about, even though I didn't make the cut.
Good point. You are falling on the sword for the good of the community.
Yeah, it convinced me not to take Ugnaughts, which I was very happy about.
Indeed. Awesome. All right, so we have established that you are bona fide, as they would say. So tell us about how you did at Worlds.
So I guess all in all, I got second place, which I was really happy about, a lot more than I was really, really ever expected to do.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. But yeah, it was really good. Really fun. I went 6-1 in Swiss and then lost in the final to DT. Yeah. So round one, I had a bye because of French Nationals. So no update there.
Of course.
Round two, I went against a guy, named Bailey Streeter. And that was Raining Freight. So he had a really interesting list where he had an ATDP and he had BT and Vader. And then I think some jets and officers. So just really interesting because you don't see BT very much. So I won the initiative, so I got the bottom good side on Raining Freight, and it was like really, really optimal, like for my kind of list against his list. So I just like light up the ATDP early on with Ranger Fire and bring it down pretty early. And yeah, it's pretty rough, but he's actually able to bring his Vader up the side, with like not very much fire into him. I think this is like round two. He does Force Rush and then comes up, is one space away from Han, and Dark energies him out of like Han's hiding space. So Han is now in the open. No. And between like all of that, he brings Han down to one health.
Oh no.
I mean, I'd read so much about like the parting blow meta in the US. So this was what I was principally afraid of at Worlds. Yeah. So he wasn't running Unshakable, but I thought, you know, that would be like a fun little surprise if he has parting blow. So I didn't want to like, you know, run away with Han just yet.
Yeah.
So what I did is I ran Hera up to body block. But I crucially forgot that BT has blast.
Oh no!
So BT comes up and makes like a range 5, range 6 shot, completely one-shots Hera with this god roll and has an extra surge to blast Han.
Oh no!
So I was like, oh no, oh shoot. And so like, I just have to play super carefully with the Rangers, and then like on the very, I managed to bring Vader down. But on the very last turn, he moves BT up and then does like a salvo, and he has assassinate his one hunter, and he brings down two Rangers, which is enough to tie the score, and he wins on the tiebreaker.
That's insane. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, if you're running like an off meta list, that's the kind of thing that you want to do. You want to surprise your opponents. And yeah. I was surprised, and it was a really fun game. He played it really well.
That's awesome. Okay. So 1-1.
Yeah. So the next round I went against Kevin Connors on the Uskru Stashes mission.
Okay.
So this was a mirror match. He had Han Rangers, except he had R2 and Chopper. I don't remember what he took out to get Chopper.
I guess we should say your list is.
I guess I should say. So I was playing Han Rangers. So I had Han Rangers, Hera, Gideon, R2, C-3PO, two Alliance Smugglers, and Rebel High Command. So really similar to what I played at Regionals, except then I played with an extra Smuggler instead of Rebel High Command. And then, you know, all the good command cards that you'd run with Han Rangers.
Yeah. I gotta say, this is interesting because Brett Kelly lied to us and made it seem like he was the one who came up with the R2 Rebel High Command double Smuggler variant. But now I see his throne is built on lies.
Well, I mean, I was doing it with like the third Smuggler before to get the ninth activation. So I think the main difference was that in Rebel High Command. It was the first time that I'd done Rebel High Command and R2 in the same list.
I mean, so, the card draw is just bonkers. But
yeah, it's super good. So round three, Kevin Connors, Uskru Stashes. It's a mirror match, except he has both Chopper and R2. So I didn't have a lot of practice with Uskru because I was like traveling for a while before Worlds. So like the week of Worlds is the first time I got to play on Uskru. So I didn't really know how to play on it just quite yet. And I moved my Rangers. I was on the non-cross side. And I think I actually split my Rangers to the two sides. And I remember he had his Han, who was 5 spaces away from that little nook on the side of the map where he can see down into like the deployment area. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And so I remember, like, I think this is round two. He moves up 4 and then plays fleet footed to be able to see my range around the corner. So I just negated that. So that was nice. And it was nice that he moved the 4 before playing the fleet footed.
That is something to know. Always play your movement cards first before you do these things.
Yeah. So it left like Han a little dry, but I mean, I was done negation, which was also good for him.
Yeah.
So we just played it pretty carefully, I think. But I just remember I was able to come out ahead in the end. I finished Han like round 3 with my own Han with element of surprise. And I think it was, mainly on figures, I was able to pull it out.
All right, so we're 2-1, on to round 4.
So round 4, I was playing against Dave Seafelt.
We love Dave. Dave's the best.
Yeah, he's a really great player, really nice guy. I played against him a practice game the day before on Uscrew. Okay. This one was on Shielded, and he's running an 8-activation scum list.
With Devious?
Yeah, with Devious schemes, so of course he takes the good side.
Yep.
So yeah, it was really tough because he played so conservatively, just hiding his weak ways behind like those places where, you know, you can't really get to them unless like you charge forward. And with my list, with only 4 attacking activations, that's not something that you can really do. So I remember what I did is I actually snuck around the long side of the map with my rangers. I think if you're coming on the top, the left side. And from there, I was able to like snipe and see like past his figures, get some line of sight there. But it still ended up being super close. I think it finished like 34 to 33.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so really close.
All right, so you've defeated Dave. We should also say, I mean, you mentioned this, but Dave's an incredibly, incredibly, incredibly good player. So I know he has done very well in organized play tournaments that he's played in the past. So
yeah, that
very good close game.
That game could have definitely come down to like a single die roll. It was really close.
Yeah.
So then, so round 5, I was against Ira Myers.
Oh, Ira.
And this was on the Uscrew courier droid mission.
Okay.
So I felt kind of bad for Ira because I got like a just incredible hand to start out with and all this card draw. He's running like Vader with riots.
Yes.
And so I start out with like Assassinate and Heightened Reflexes and all these really great cards. And so, yeah, so he moves like his Vader out and just like at the beginning of round 2, I just completely obliterate Vader.
And then
at one point in the game, I remember my Han actually one shot like one of his elite riots.
Man,
it was just like I don't know, the dice gods were on my side, the card gods, I had everything. And so I felt kind of bad for winning, but I mean, when you lose like Vader at the beginning of round 2, it's like hard to come back from that. Especially on courier droids, because like the elite riots can't just like sit back on shield generators generating tons of points.
Yeah, that's such a great point.
He played it well, but there wasn't much that you can do.
No, I was a great player, but if you lose Vader early round 2, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So you're 4-1 at this point.
Yeah. So okay. I was feeling pretty good. My goal was to make top 16. Didn't really have much hope beyond that, but that was my goal. So okay. I knew that I needed to win probably at least one more.
Yes.
Maybe 2, depending on strength of schedule. So round 6, I play against Matt Richards.
He's there
with you on Zion's Finest.
Yep.
It was a really great game. It was Mos Eisley Crates. And it was a mirror match. Like complete mirror match except for 2 command cards.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember what side I take, but I remember that he wins the initiative, so he chooses the side, and more importantly for me, I get the last activation for Han.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah,
so it was really huge, and Matt played super well, super carefully, except for one mistake that just completely swung the game. So when he deployed, he put Gideon sort of in the middle of his deployment zone. And on Gideon's activation, he did both of his special actions, so he didn't move or anything. So his Gideon is sitting right in the middle of his deployment zone. So with my last activation, I ran Han like up so that, you know, he could snipe Gideon once the doors opened at the end of the round. So I have like this focused Han. And I'm able to. So I snipe Gideon at the end of round 1. And that's just huge because, like, you know, we're so far away from each other generally that, like, we're not going to get many shots on each other. And now I have activation advantage and, you know, one more focus each round.
Yes, that is huge.
So, I mean, our smugglers, like, they were both doing work, but we had the same number of them. So, like, no advantage there. So he, if I remember right, he plays Call the Vanguard and moves like a focused ranger out to attack Han. Okay. But I had On the Lamb, so I move back with On the Lamb. So now he has like no Call the Vanguard, and I have the activation advantage. So then all I have to do is, like, play slow and wait until I'm going to be past the initiative with negation. So I, like, focus up all my rangers, and then when that happens with my Lactus activation, I move all my rangers out, double move, and then murder all of his rangers. And
yeah, there you go.
I mean, all from killing Gideon at the end of round one.
It's such an interesting... I want to just, like, have a minor editorial note here, that this is something I have learned from watching really good players, is how important it is to snipe figures like Gideon, C-3PO, and Alliance Smugglers, I think, are a great example. Because one is, I mean, each of those figures does something for your opponent that you obviously don't want them to do. But the other thing is, getting up in the activation count is so huge. And there's just, like, nothing, like, you know, if you can, it's just like you're saying, you kill Gideon, and now, like, there is nothing he can do about at this point. He is going to be playing an activation down, so.
All right, so round seven?
Yep, round seven. Final round.
So round seven, I played against James Hedgepeth, and it was another mirror match. I played so many Han Rangers in Swiss.
That's awesome.
I remember he was running Mac, so he had, like, some spy flavor, and this was on the Mos Eisley stash mission. So again, just like Matt, like, we're all super careful not letting each other get shots in. I remember I think he did call the Vanguard and shot Han again. And I on the lambed to safety. But the call to Vanguard exposed his ranger. So then I was able to, like, snipe the ranger. And just because we were, like, so careful, just that very small material advantage was, like, enough. And I held on to the lead until the end.
And how would you do that in terms of, like, if you've got the material advantage, like, when you say playing careful and safeguarding your lead, like, what does that entail in a mirror match?
I think with, like, Han Rangers, it's, like, don't let anyone get free shots on your Rangers, especially, or just on, like, any of your figures, and then save, like, your big activations for last so that they can't run out and do anything.
Makes perfect sense.
But, yeah, that one ended 21-26, so pretty close. Basically, the difference of the Ranger.
Yeah, that is crazy. That is very, very crazy. All right, so you're 6-1. With Swiss, so you're going to be making it into the top cut. So tell us how that goes. Top 16, day two.
Yeah, so top 16, that was my original goal, so really happy to get there. And something that I'd also like to say, I was there with one other person from France, my friend Gilles, and he also made top 16, so I'm super happy to say that 100% of the players that came from France made top 16.
That's right, they're amazing, they can't be stopped.
So yeah, round one, I played against Andy Brazier, from the UK, and my friend also played against Luke. So it ended up being, like, France versus UK among us for the first round of top 16.
Well, we know how I feel about the queen, but I'm not going to editorialize on that.
So anyway, Andy was playing Luke Rangers. It was on Ushkru, but I don't remember which mission it was. Do you?
It was the courier droid.
Okay, so courier droid. So he was doing Luke Rangers. And I think it had 7 activations, so I had the last activation.
Okay.
So he moved his Luke over next to his terminal door.
Okay.
And I moved my Han into the booth to where he would be able to see Luke once the door opened.
Okay.
So at the end of the round, I do, like, this focus shot with Han, and I have tools in my hand, and I'm thinking, well, I could play this, but if he dodges, it would be really bad.
That's a swing.
But I decide, like, you know what, I'm really scared of Luke. I need to, like, disincentivize him from, you know, running Luke forward and killing my list. So I play tools. So I'm rolling, like, green, 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 blue, red into Luke. And he doesn't dodge. So I do, like, 10 damage to Luke at the end of round one.
Oh, my gosh. That's the end of round one. That's the crazy thing. Ugh. That's
brutal. So that was huge. So I think I did, like, some interesting stuff with Han. Like, he comes in and attacks with a ranger. And I play on the lamb to actually, I move into the fire, but next to Luke to where, like, there's no way that he can block the end of round attack. And I shoot back at the ranger. He does 11 damage to Han.
Ooh.
At the end of the round, I managed to, like, kill Luke. So I ended up trading like Han for Luke plus a Ranger, which is a good trade for me.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I was able to carry that.
Okay. So Andy's down. We should also say you were the only person who made top 16 with Han Rangers. Andy made it with Jedi Luke Rangers, which is awesome. But yeah, you were the only person who made it with Han Rangers, which very much surprised me.
How many Han Rangers were there in Swiss?
That is not known. I bet that at least 10 to 15% of the field was like Han Rangers. So, you know, with that being the case,
I played like at least 4, I think.
Yeah, see, that's crazy. See, I didn't play any. Oh, wait, that's not true. My first round opponent had Han Rangers, Lucas Carrington, but I didn't play any the rest of the day. So I don't know. Maybe 20%, but I don't think it was a whole lot higher than that. But I was surprised it was that high with IG Pirates being like coming back in spades. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, so you have done very well being the Han Rangers player who is advanced now past the top 16. So tell us about your top 8 match.
All right. So top 8, I had a rematch against Ira. This time it was on Shielded. So it was, I think, a little more advantageous than the Uskru map on their previous match, but still pretty good for Han Rangers.
Yes.
So he won the initiative and he took the top side to get like the easy access to all the objectives. And I knew that I just could not let him run away with objectives. So like I decided like round one before the first activation, I'm just going to ignore Vader this game and kill everything else. Cause if they sit on those objectives, I'm going to lose.
Yeah. Game's over.
I guess Ira like remembered the previous match and how like I literally like disintegrated Vader. So he actually runs Vader like far around the side of the map. And I'm like, okay, and I just
that's exactly what you
went to the opposite side of the map, so his Vader is super far.
Yeah.
There was a pretty big swing on round one. He had one set of elite jets, and he put them, I'm on the bottom side, so he took the two generators on the right side.
Okay.
With his jets. So I put three Ranger attacks into the one on the second from the right.
Okay.
And do not kill it.
Whoa.
With three Ranger attacks, because he has Zillow, and I didn't get great rolls. So he survives with one health.
Oh, my gosh.
But then I have Han. So Han has moved out a little bit, I think, with Gideon and Hera. And I play Urgency to move all the way over to the right. So I have, like, the line of sight down the far right aisle. So what I do then, I have tools for the job. So I do tools. And I'm able to one-shot that one that hasn't taken any fire yet.
Wow.
Which was huge. And then the end of the round, Han's end of round attack finishes the other one. So now he doesn't have his jets. His whole list is melee. And they're still pretty far from my list. So yeah, it was really lucky for me that I started with those cards to be able to take out those jets early.
Yeah.
So sure. then for like the rest of the game, like I'm like we're splitting the objective points now because I basically have control of the two ones on the right, and he's rushing his list at me, but I'm just able to, like, you know, take shots and slowly run away, and it was enough. So
yeah,
I replayed it really well, but losing those jets early and the points for sitting on the shield generators was pretty huge.
That is awesome. Okay, so Ira's down, top 4, man. And let me also include an editorial comment. This is probably the best game I have ever seen in IA played, ever. Like, ever, ever. This is such an amazing game.
Yeah, this was a super great game. So this was against Brett Kelly, and I'd never played him before, but, you know, he's a name that you hear if you, like, follow Imperial Assault. So I knew he was a really, really good player, and he definitely lived up to that reputation.
Yes, indeed.
So he, of course, was running the IG 8 activation list, which is really, really good against Rebels. It's basically designed to murder Rebels because, you know, you can't really do much against, you know, IG coming and killing all of your Rangers with Blaze at the end of a round. However, even though he had the list advantage, I had the map advantage because we were playing on the crate mission on Mos Eisley.
Yep.
So that was nice because my smugglers were able to put a lot of pressure on him, so he can't just hang back and wait to draw the combo. So my smugglers went to work. I started getting a lot of objective points. We're playing super carefully. He moves IG up because, you know, he has to. I don't know if he has Blaze yet. But he kills a smuggler and he hides him in the sort of cantina area. There's a little corner there that's really hard to get to.
Yep.
So I know that if he has Blaze, like, I'm in big trouble. So I think I moved a ranger out with Gideon to where he would be able to reach him or urgency or something, like something so I could get a ranger out to where I could get a single shot onto IG.
I actually don't think he'd moved back at this point. I think he was, like, on the way back.
Yeah, I don't remember all the details, but I remember I'm able to get a ranger out up to IG to where I can attack him, not at range 5 or beyond, so no rerolls. But I just, like, lay, like, all the cards I can into him. I think positioning advantage, maybe definitely assassinate. And I get IG down to, like, 2 or 3 health.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's really nice because, you know, he can still Blaze, and Blaze is really powerful, but he's not going to have that, like, end of round to start of round swing where he gets, like, 5 attacks off with, you know, no answer.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that was that. And then towards the end, I decide to move my Han down to where his end of round attack will kill his IG in case he didn't have Blaze. Because, you know, that would probably just seal the game for me.
Yep.
But it turns out he did have Blaze. So he played Blaze. He took out the Ranger, and I think he forced me to on the lamb with Han.
Yep.
But of course, like, IG dies at the end of the round. So, I mean, okay. I'm still pretty happy with that.
Yeah. Because at this point now, you're at an advantage, right? Because he's down IG, Blaze, right? And you're still in a very safe position in terms of, like, you've got objective control with your smuggler who's left. You've, you know, still got your rangers. Like, you're just in a great spot.
Yeah.
For Brett.
Yeah, and I think I probably should have played more conservatively after this point. But I do, like, a big play with Han later where I, you know, go to take out a weak weight at the end of the round, but I'm not able to quite get back into cover.
Yeah.
So with his remaining weak way, Brett comes up. He's able to play wild attack, tools for the job, insane. Primary target. So he's, like, rolling 5 dice, multiple of which are red. And, you know, he's going to have heightened reflexes in his hand because we've drawn most of our decks by now. And Han's at full health. But he, like, one-shots Han, which is, like, huge. Like, I
it's
definitely
insane. That was disgusting.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of what weak ways do. It's kind of why you run them. But yeah, it was a super good play by him, and he got it, and that made it, like, really close again.
Yeah.
So I think in the end it was down, like, 32-0 or 34-32, something really close.
Yeah.
And I'm up ahead because of my smugglers. They've really earned their weight in gold this match.
Absolutely.
But then I remember I make this huge mistake at the end. So I'm ahead by 2 points. And I have, like, these rangers out in the open because they've taken some shots to, you know, get me up to that point.
Yep.
And for some stupid reason, I decide to run out with my smuggler to body block to save the rangers. Without it clicking in my brain that it's more likely for the smuggler to die and Brett would win the tiebreaker. So Brett has a focused Jawa and a focused Hera to, like, you know, somehow get 2 more points. And he had, like, an 80% chance to win this match now. Because he can run out Hera and he can attack this smuggler and probably kill it with 80% probability.
Yeah, because we did the math on it. It was a 96% chance to make range, and then there's the chance for the dodge, right? So it's...
Yeah, so it was a range five shot because of slippery on the smuggler. He runs up, focused Hera, rolls 4 range.
I could not believe that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I honestly think that Brett deserved to win that match. I mean, he's such a good player. And I mean, when your opponent makes a mistake like that, you probably deserve to win. But, it's what the dice do.
It goes that way both ways. So
it was a super good game. Brett's like such a great player. Such a great match. I'll remember that match forever.
Yeah, it was amazing. Oh, that was such a great game. All right, so Greg has made it. Han Rangers to the final against Daniel Taylor.
This was another crazy, crazy match.
Very much.
DT's a guy that I have also never played against before. Okay. So this was a first. So this was on the Uskru stash mission.
Yep.
And he's running the same list as Brett, except for some command cards.
One command card. He has urgency instead of wild attack. That's it. That was the only difference in their list.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it's like a list that's designed to murder rebels. And unlike the previous mission, which, you know, is very favored for my smugglers, this is a mission with not a lot of objective points coming in every round. We're not even going to touch the middle stashes because, you know, it's a death zone. So we're getting 2 to 4 points at most per turn from objectives. So that literally means that there's no objective pressure, and he can just play it safe and wait for Blaze to come in. And I know this, so I'm just sweating, and I'm okay, I'm sitting down, and I think I probably have maybe a 10-15% chance to win this if I get really lucky.
There you go.
It turns out I did get really lucky, but not quite enough.
Yeah. And the reason why, you say it like that is because it is Han Rangers just cannot get to him, right? You cannot take these long sight lines in which you can just slowly pepper him down. He can just hole up in a spot that you don't have access and wait till he draws Blaze and negation, and then just comes in and kills you, right? And there's just nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, and DT plays it so well. The opening on round one. So when I think of a devious scheme list with Greedo on this map, my first idea is, I'll just move Greedo into the lounge at the end of the round so he won't take any damage. He'll immediately earn back his points. And if, you know, Han kills him end of round, he'll probably kill something with his parting shot, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not what he did with Greedo. He moves Greedo up next to my terminal door, which is the absolute perfect move, perfect place for Greedo, because
I love it.
You know, now I only have 4 attacking figures and I can't afford to lose really any of them. If I lose a Ranger and exchange it for Greedo, that is not a trade in my favor.
Nope.
So I can't move anything over to my terminal area. Which means that corner where he ended up parking IG is completely safe. I literally have no way to get line of sight on the IG, so he can just wait for Blaze negation to come in and then, you know, wreck me.
Yep.
So I thought that was just such great positioning with Greedo, and not something that I, you know, would have initially thought of, because I probably would have put him in the lounge and then lost.
Yeah, yeah. See, I think that seeing that and where he was camping IG, those are two amazing spots where it's you can tell Daniel has put in his practice. But I've told people to watch your guys' game on Twitch or on YouTube or whatever it's on now, because seeing that positioning was so awesome in terms of just that's something you wouldn't have thought about, but now you can apply all this pressure.
Yeah, so that was really well played by him. We ended up he moved to that corner on the right side from his deployment zone, and I moved to the right side on my deployment zones. So we just sort of rotate that way. We take some shots. I mispositioned with C-3PO on a Ranger, and he's able, I think it's round two, he's able to shoot through my open door, and he snipes 3PO and one of my focused Rangers.
Yes.
So yeah, that was also pretty huge, and I was like, that's a sight line I wasn't really expecting.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think this is my fourth or fifth game on Uskru. But I see another similar sightline later on that, you know, I wouldn't initially expect to be there, and I'm able to shoot down a weak way. I shoot at C-3PO, but it misses because of tough luck. And then, yeah, we just play it super carefully, super safely. We're about even on material, I think. I've gotten a little bit more in objective points. I know like Blaze is going to be coming soon because, you know, now it's like round three or round four and we both have R2, or I killed his R2 early, but, you know, we've drawn like a lot of cards.
Yes.
So all of my figures are at this point more or less around the booth. So I come out and I attack something with Han. I don't remember what. And he moves his Hera up and attacks Han and manages to do like 5 damage. I decide not to on the Lamet because I realize I need the activation advantage. I need to kill Hera and IG if he comes and plays Blaze. And if I don't, like he's going to like win this. So I play tools with Han and I end up one-shotting Hera, which was good.
Yes.
But then I know the Blaze play is coming.
Yes.
And it does. So he moves IG up. He attacks, I think he attacks Han first, right?
I think so.
So I on the Lamb away. And then he attacks a Ranger and kills the Ranger.
Yep.
So yeah, I just have one Ranger left and it's been damaged. It has like 3 health left or something like that.
Yeah. Not in great shape. He one-shot the other Ranger. That was the other thing to say.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Yes.
Yeah, he one-shot the other Ranger, I think, with a card.
Yes, I think you're right.
So now, like, it's the end of the round. Han doesn't have an end-of-round shot because I moved him to complete safety. So IG couldn't murder him.
Yes.
So he is getting initiative, and I'm in trouble. And I try to take initiative. And this is one of those instances where I was really lucky. He had all but 3 cards in his deck, and one of those 3 cards in his deck was negation.
Yes.
So I managed to take initiative. So I'm like, oh, okay. Was not expecting that. And then I play Call the Vanguard.
Yep.
So I have like 2 attacks to bring IG down with, and he has 12 health because of Blaze.
Yep.
So Call the Vanguard. I can't get to 5 spaces away, so I just roll damage on the blue dice. Mm. I have officer training in my hand, but I forget to play it, so no rerolls.
Oh, no.
But I add a surge with Hera. I do positioning advantage, assassinate. I think I end up doing 8 damage. I bring IG down to 4 life. So now it's down to Han to finish the job. First activation, Han comes out. Attacks IG. Han rolls a perfect roll, like 4 damage, 2 surges.
Yep.
And then DT rolls and gets triple block.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that was like my one hope.
Yep.
But IG survives with 1 health.
That was it.
But I mean, that's how dice goes sometimes. Sure. And to be fair, absolutely. Like he had also low rolled on some of my Rangers. One of my Rangers probably should have been dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, so IG was able to clean up. Gideon finished IG off at least. So at least the score was like, at least I got into the 30s. But
it was, if you would have killed IG there, it would have, I think it was like a 40% chance to kill him, like to get up there without Hera, right? With his like 1 block. And so those aren't bad. That's not bad odds, right? And that doesn't include the reroll, right? So, you know, but then you roll the 3 block and it's like rolling a dodge, you know? So that's just how it goes.
Yeah. But it was just like super well played by DT. Like the timing for bringing IG in. The only reason I had a hope was because he didn't draw his negation.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
But yeah, it was just like super well played. I think it ended like 32-40 or something like that.
I think you might've been a little higher than that, but it was very close. Very, very, very close. Great game. Greg, so as the runner-up, obviously you've got some serious credibility now. Everyone needs to pay attention to what you tell us. So tell us what you were surprised by at Worlds. Like, what was it about the meta or your opponents that surprised you?
So my biggest surprise was not seeing Vader.
Yes.
Because I just, like, not that many people have been running, like, this Vader Unshakeable list, like, in my local meta. And yeah. I'd read a lot about it, and I was convinced going into Worlds that it was, like, the best meta list. I just didn't run it because I didn't have practice with it. So I was really surprised not to see more Vader. I was expecting, like, 50% Unshakeable Vader.
Really? That's interesting. I mean, I was expecting there to be a lot of it, but I thought, like, with Han Rangers being so... 'cause Like, I don't think Han Rangers has got a strong advantage over Vader, but it's got a good advantage, like, in the sense of, like, they can kill Vader better than most other things, maybe than, obviously, IG pirates. But even still, like, Han and Rangers can do, just put out so much crazy damage at range. So I thought that would kind of, like, damp it down. But then when Oosker came out and it's like, well, it looks like lots of people are going to be riding pirates, then I thought, well, then less people will run Han, and maybe that will give us more Vader. So, yeah, that was very interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, well, if that was your biggest surprise, like what was your biggest takeaway from the tournament in terms of things that you want to work on in the future in terms of skirmish? Like, list things that you want to work on, or figures you want to make work, figures you want to experiment with.
So I actually really like your list with MHD and Drakata. I definitely want to like experiment with some of that. I mean, I love Drakata. I've played her in a couple of, I guess like fun lists, but not like in high competition. And she can really do work, but she can also die really easily. So I'm pretty intrigued. I'm pretty intrigued by that. So yeah, I'd like to try that out for fun.
Yeah, she's really, really good against Imperials. She's not, in terms of, she puts out a ton of damage, and she doesn't, it is tough for Imperials to, like, get through her defense, but she struggles with, in terms of dying really fast, against Rangers and against Pirates. So, you know, it's just, you have to be pretty careful with her, but she was just the MVP. I was one-shotting things all day with her, you know, and getting to 7 damage to kill a Ranger at range like 8 with Hera around is not hard to do if she's focused. So
and her command card is so good too, because like if you're both playing super safely, if you can like shoot around a corner and kill something and get a material advantage, that could literally be the game.
Oh man, yes, that is absolutely right. That arcing shot won me at least 2 games at Worlds, at least 2 games. But oh, it's such a great card. It's like, think of it like an element of surprise, but instead of like, you know, you think of like the surprise being, oh, you lose a dice, the surprise being you thought you were safe and it turns out you're not, and I'm gonna blast 2 onto everybody else.
So
it's very, very cool. Well, awesome, Greg. Well, do you have any other thoughts, comments, anything for us?
Nothing that comes to mind.
Well, we want to congratulate you on your sterling performance at Worlds. You did incredibly well. Matt Richards played you, and he said that you made it seem like your game was like close fought, and it was, but Matt said he has never been so thoroughly worked in terms of like, you just outpositioned him, you knew what you were doing, you were thinking a few steps ahead, and like I think a great example is your double Rangers move, right? That's not something that a lot of people would think about, but you understood like the tempo of the game, how the initiative swing would work, and like things you could do to just like take the game from being a close material advantage to you winning the game. And you know, that was just an incredible play. And obviously you did really, really well.
Well, thank you.
Awesome. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening. We want to encourage everyone to join us on the Slack channel so you can... you need to get more active on the Slack channel. The people expect your opinions to be voiced.
Well, I'm there. I'm reading everything, but yeah, I'm kind of shy.
Well, you're the second best person. You need to tell Brett Kelly to shut his mouth and listen to what you have to say now. But we want to have everyone join us on the Slack channel. We're having a ton of fun. We are gearing up. European Nationals is coming up, I think, in a month, less than a month. And so those of us who are in Europe or are planning on going to European Nationals are gearing up for that. And we're still just having a lot of fun talking about lists. Most people are trying to get creative right now, trying to figure out the next thing that they're going to be working on. And so we're having a lot of fun. So join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com and support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. Greg, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.